Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Just for a few minutes about our city and our responsibilities to our city. And a lot of you know that this past week that Robert Swiderski and several of his friends and believers walked for 80 straight hours. They walked to every single police district in our city, and they did that to make aware that our police need our help, that they are struggling under the duress of the job, under the pressures of the job, and they want to make that it aware, us aware, that they need our help. They need our thank yous. They need our support in so many ways. They need our prayer support. They need us to come out and to support them in our communities, to have conversations, so many different things. And it really touched our heart because I was asked to come and pray at some of the different districts. And one of our wonderful, awesome people who stayed up 80 hours and walked and slept in a police car and all, she's here tonight. Lisette is here. And she did the walk. And I don't know how she's awake now, but she is. And God blessed her. And, it is just amazing. But I just want to share with you tonight my heart. But Sandra is going to share some of our pictures. You'll see Lisette in some of our pictures. And we just have to have some conversations. So we want to do that tonight. So Sandra's going to start our just quick presentation.
Thank you.
Amen. That's just a little bit of what we did this week, and I just give such credit to you, Lisette, and to everyone who walked and participated in any way. And you can see that there's a lot of work to be done in our city. And I'm going to talk about the police department briefly and some of the statistics. And then I also want to talk a few minutes about the issue of the migrants being in our city. And a lot of people have debated this back and forth continually. Should they be here? Should they not be here? Let me just say something about that. This. Let's put that to rest and say they are here. They are here. And you know what? Let me say something to you. I have had parties in my home, and I've had events for our church, and people came that I was not expecting and that possibly were not invited. Once they step over the threshold of Dave and I's home, they become our guests, and they become also our responsibility. And that's how I view this situation. So I no longer am willing to ask the question, who should be here and who shouldn't? If God allowed them to be here, then I have a responsibility in the sight of God for them. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about our Chicago Police Department. I want to talk to you about our city. Our city has a murder rate higher than New York City and also Los Angeles as of 2023. Chicago has an extremely overall crime rate, a high crime rate. However, most of the crimes committed here in our city happen to be violent crimes. There are seriously violent crimes. The current population of Chicago is 3 million, approximately 937,000 people. We have 22 police districts and approximately 12,000-something police officers. It's not enough. It's not enough. And this is why we must cooperate and we must help whenever and wherever we can when called upon. Our officers are overworked and they are underpaid as they daily face dangers and challenges that we may never face at all. Since the year 2018, there have also been 20 police officers that have taken their own lives due to the stress of the job, being overworked, and they're called upon to be strong and tough, yet they are human beings with real feelings and emotions. They're guarding, protecting us, and at the same time, they're trying to stay safe themselves. Can you imagine going to work every single day and thinking, I just may not go home tonight. I may not make it home tonight. Most of us don't go to work and don't go shopping or to a restaurant with that thought in mind that today may be my last, but that is their ever-present reality. And here's another one. The public is against me. There is a strong anti-police sentiment. The first district that I shared at this week, Lisette was there and Sandra, was the 8th district where Robert had told me immediately that there was a young woman standing next to me that was a widow of one of the officers. Not just a widow, but her husband had not fallen to violence on the streets, but by his own hand. And that crushed my heart like you can't imagine. Her name is Margaret, if you would pray for her. But Margaret is the fallout of what is happening in our city. She's a hurting person now too. But she's not willing to stay silent, and she's speaking out and saying, I don't want this to happen to anyone else like it happened to me. But there is an anti-police sentiment in our city, and many of our metropolitan cities are our larger cities due to events that happen. But I want to tell you and go into this saying that there's more honorable officers than there are those who dishonor the badge. And of course, at some point, they'll fail us and they'll fail to execute their duties with honor, some of them. But that's for our legal system to deal with. But I want to share with you a few things that I shared with our officers because what they do is so critical. And I shared with them, it's not all just what you do, it's who you are that makes the difference in your life and mine. And these are our city heroes, and the Bible says there's no greater love than any man than he would lay down his life for his friend. And they see the worst of the worst. Emmy, who goes to this church, she's a DCF, Department of Children and Family Services. She sees the worst of the worst. You see people that their lives are taken, they're murdered, they're abused, they're tortured, and their children. They see poverty, and yet they continually pour out themselves and serve our city. And rarely are they thanked properly and sufficiently. In fact, most of the times they are opposed. And yet you feel in our city, as Sandra shared with me when we walked in one of the districts, you can feel the oppression. You can feel the stress, you know, when you walk in there. And I see in, with my own eyes, I saw courage that is unmatched. And when these men and women of our Chicago Police Department surrender their lives, let me say something. Their lives are not taken. They were martyred. They're martyred because they represent Christ to us. And when we run from the criminals, they run towards them. And I really don't think, you know, having spent this week with them, I really don't think that we will ever fully know, understand, or appreciate how hard it is to serve in this way. And how I'm sure that every one of us who are here tonight, it's a small group, but I'm sure every one of us have at some time or another either called 911 or needed the assistance of a police officer at some time. And these officers sacrifice in a million ways that we will never know of, and leaving their families so many things. And here's the thing that troubles me the most. When I call for help, they come. When they call for help, who comes? Who will come? Who's going to answer their call when they're broken, when they're hurting, when they have stress in their lives, even on top of the job, and they just don't get the respect that they have actually earned? And I really want that to change, and I want to be a part of that change. And I want them all to know that there are more of us who are proud of you than those who dishonor you. And I think that they need to hear message of encouragement. And this is how I know they need to hear messages of encouragement. Because at one point when I was sharing with them and said, there are more of us who love you than hate you. A couple of our female officers immediately started to cry. Sometimes you just need to hear that you're loved, that you're seen, that you're appreciated. It makes a difference. Because the opposite of that is they're constantly being torn down. They're constantly being put down. The profession does no longer care with it the honor that it should, that it once did when I was even a child. And I have some things on my heart. I was sharing with Donna and some other people some things on my heart. You know that in March, it's the beginning of March, I think, the training, I'm going to become a police chaplain. And you know, I wanted to share some things that I would like to share with some of these officers. First of all, I would like to share with them that you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian, go to heaven. We go to heaven by the grace of God because he gave his son as a sacrifice. We go because of what he did and not because of the good that we've done. You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. Second, I would like to share that we are not going to not make heaven because we have sinned or we have failed in some way. We all sin. Jesus did not die just to save us from committing sin. We all commit sin. He died to save us from the punishment of sin. So you can sign up to go to heaven if you're the worst sinner on earth because of the blood of Jesus. And I like that. And I want to share with them also something that'll be a strange message coming from me. It's that going to church doesn't make you a Christian, no more than standing in a garage makes you a car. I'm going to tell them that coming to church is not a requirement for heaven. It's a wonderful idea, and here's why. And I think I can present this to groups of people. I do it at funerals all the time. Let me tell you something about the church. The church is the largest group therapy session that there is available to us. It's the church. You want to go to group therapy? Come to church. That's where it's at. And the church is filled with people who will love you when the world hates you, who will pray for you when the world is not praying for you but persecuting you. I'm going to tell them that they need to plan for eternity. You know, sometimes there's things that you don't want to talk about, and something, especially if you were in a group of police officers that you knew might be heading out into eternity, sometimes we neglect to even talk about that elephant in the room. But that's the exact thing that we do need to be talking about. And so I would ask them three questions, like I did all of you on a Sunday morning. Ask yourself the question, where will you spend eternity? That's question number one. Question number two is, are you sure about where you will spend eternity? And finally, the third question is, Would you like to be sure about where you will spend eternity? I'm going to tell them when I have the opportunity that there's nothing that they have ever done, no matter how awful and horrible it is, that will make God love them any less. He loves them unconditionally. And if they themselves have done wrong, God is a God who forgives. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. And God's people are a people who forgive, and they show mercy. And I'm going to tell them that if they need to call, they can call us. They can find the number of someone in this church and call them and say, I need to talk to somebody. And I truly am hoping to have that opportunity, and I know that I am going to have that opportunity, but something, and tell them that they're loved by the church. You know, one of the things that I always said in my life is, I always wanted God to give, you know, God, we all want opportunities, right? We want opportunities to minister the gospel, and we picture ourselves ministering in churches. If you're a minister, if you're a Christian, I picture myself writing a Christian book or ministering in a Christian church. But that's not really what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world. He didn't say, wait for them to come in here. He said, go to them. So if I know that there's officers down here at the 8th district, or they're at the 7th district, or they're at the 10th district, or the 12th district, and they're hurting, I can't wait for them always to come to me. It's my responsibility to go to them. Sandra had a great idea that I actually really loved. You know, we, you all know, and we talked about this before, that if you were to pass around a handkerchief that had flu virus on it, you really wouldn't want to put it up to your face because you know it's transferable, correct? And so the same thing with the anointing. If we were to anoint the anointed cloths that we do, like Paul did in the Bible, and send that forth, having been prayed over, then that's transferable, the anointing. The prayers go with them. And I want to say something else. We can pray for them, and our prayers will go with them. You know, I talked to them the other day. This will be redundant for Sandra and Lisette, but I talked to the different districts about and shared the other night at a dinner we had with some of our church members, a retirement dinner. I shared this. I know the power of prayer. First of all, because we had an officer in our congregation, you remember Paul Lopez, who was a rookie officer, very new to the force, and he was shot almost immediately, went through a night-long surgery, and our church prayed, and he's alive today. And the second story I told them was my daughter's ex-husband took a weapon and held it to her head and tried to discharge it, continually tried to discharge it, and he was unable to do that. That's because I pray for my children. That's because Dave and I pray for our children, and that's because the church prays. We pray for our children. So there's power in prayer, and one of the things God had told me about the police officers when I went in the districts was to pray that very specific prayer that happened to Tammy, was that if that, and I told them then, I said, I'm going to pray a specific prayer over you, that God instructed me to pray that if any wicked person would ever hold a weapon to you to harm you in any way, that it would not discharge in Jesus' name. Again, there were tears. I think people need to know that they're prayed for and that God hears prayer and answers prayer. There's power in prayer, and they don't need to be out on the streets not knowing. Having said that, I also want to say a couple other things. Up until the other day, I'm going to confess something horrible. I had heard his name, but never really paid attention to it. I believe that we're responsible to get to know the people who serve us. If someone's out there trying to save our life and protect us, I should know who they are. And so I want to share that first. The first person that we need to know and pray for is our Chicago Police Superintendent. His name is Larry Snelling. He is a veteran police officer, and he has been on the police force for over 3 decades. He was appointed in August of 2023. He's a servant. He has a servant's heart. He served as the department's counterterrorism chief and also served as commander of the 7th District. I want to tell you about him, a little personal note. They say he has been called the son of Inglewood, as the 7th District is the Inglewood District. He's interested in morale of the officers, and though there were many considered for his position, here's something I like about that. I was sharing with Frida and them at dinner the other night, is I believe in promoting from within. Don't bring somebody out here from another state to come in and tell us how we should run Chicago and Illinois. And come on now, let's promote from within. And that's also a dishonor to our own candidates. But I like a particular quote of our Superintendent Snelling. Here's what he said. These are his words. For our officers to love someone else, we have to love them. I loved it. For our officers to love someone else, we have to love them. You can't give something that you don't have, can you? And if we will pour love into them and pour support into them, then they in turn can pour that out into our communities. And that's our responsibility. The second person that we here right at this church need to get to know and pray for would be our 8th District Commander. He's the boots on the ground kind of guy, and his name is Commander Brian Sprain, and I'm sure I botched his name, but he's the commander of our lawn district, and he's an honorable man. He's talked openly about the pain suffered by the officers in the department and the trauma that they go through. And now I want to just share just for a second about how God sees our police officers and our leaders. Matthew 5:9, God blesses those who work for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Our police officers are called peacekeepers. And you and I happen to know how hard it is. How hard is it to keep peace in your family, in our own families? Can you imagine how difficult it is for them to keep peace in a world filled with wickedness and violence? It's a tough job. And here are my raw thoughts. There are so many people who don't even want peace, who are angry people, who are bitter people, who are time bombs waiting to go off. And, you know, we need them to help us keep peace and order. And God is a God of order and orderliness. And he's not a God of chaos. It's him who instituted authority. He told Moses to appoint judges who would hear cases so that the peace could be maintained and justice would prevail. And by the way, God also gave instructions what should happen to those who did not and who violated the laws of the land. Genesis 9:5-6. God will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal, now watch this, how serious God is. You want to know how serious God is? If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. Wow. And this is correct. If an animal takes someone down, its life will be taken, even that happens. So God made provision for this. And here's what he said in this verse. That person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in his own image. We are made in the image of God. And our peace officers have to demand that we keep the laws. They have to enforce the laws. And sometimes they suffer the consequences instead of the criminal in trying to do that. You know, we need the police. And when someone does us wrong or harms us or a loved one, you know what? We don't need to, and this is something I heard recently, and I love this. It's better for us not to handle that situation. If someone harms me, it is better to turn that over to the righteous, godly appointed authorities, because in the heat of the emotion, I will react and make wrong decisions. But this is their responsibility. And something I did not realize that is very interesting to me, I wanted to share Hebrews 13:17, and believe it or not, I always applied this just to Christian leaders, like pastors and leaders in Christian settings. It's not. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping, watch this, they're keeping watch over you as those who will have to give an account. Our officers will give an account to God, not to us. Let them do their duty with joy and not suffering, for that would be of no advantage to you. Here's the translation. Do not stop them, our officers, from doing their job. Don't worry about any injustice they commit. They will give an account for that, how they did their job. Do not hinder them. Do not make them frustrated. That isn't going to help you, is the translation. You know, there's so much to this, and I don't want to go on and on, but I want to tell you that it has just been on my heart for probably the past, I know, at least 13 years to cooperate with our police, to help them, to support them in any way, you know, to go down there and anoint the building and walk around and do a prayer walk, to offer anointed cloths, to offer to talk to them if they need to talk or need someone to talk. We intend to pass out cards that say, you can call. You can call and no one will know that you called. You can talk. You can talk to Frida. No one's going to have to know about that conversation. They need someone to hear their hearts. And it just was so touching, the whole situation, as I saw them as such men and women of honor, and then realized that behind that strong presentation that they give are some hurting people who've been come against in such a strong way, who've been talked about. You know what it feels like to be when someone talks about you and they say you're no good and you're not worth anything and you're not doing it right. Man, that's hard. Especially when you're trying to do good. Those are called false accusations. And, you know, we need to respect authority. We need to do whatever we can. Walk up and shake their hands. Buy them coffee. Do whatever it takes. Make it something tangible to show that we care. That we do care. That we see you. That we understand that sometimes you're afraid. And it's okay. Because we're going to be behind you praying. The secondary issue that I wanted to address just briefly, and you know, and by the way, I'm open to ideas. Give me some ideas of how we can be a blessing, what we can do. Sandra and I were overwhelmed as we saw the children and the migrants. That's another whole issue. You walk to the police department and you think you're going to just say a prayer and then it's going to be done. And then you see all these hurting people. And then in front of all of the police stations are migrant children and families with tents that are broken, that are hurting, that have needs. Sandra and I were talking to one of the officers, and I just felt overwhelmed, like I wanted to just badger him with questions, and I did ask quite a few questions. You know, where are the bathrooms? Where are the bathtubs? Where is the food? Where is dinner? Where, you know, why aren't they in school? Just so many overwhelming questions. And then the Lord just kind of spoke and said, well, you have a lot of questions, but what if I said you're part of the answer to the questions? And so, you know, I really would like to devise a way to get supplies to them that they need. Whether it's taking bags that are filled with toiletries and that are filled with food things, we need to do something. You know, you can't do everything, but that does not exempt you from doing something. We are responsible. I don't want to put you on the spot, but Lisette, would you like to share from your perspective what happened? Yeah, Lisette's going to share for a minute.
I really want to thank you. I really want to highlight how God is all over this, because sometimes you don't hear how everyone gets connected. So how this all happened was that last year, Robert has been doing this for 3 years. The first time he did it, he ran from each district. Then the second time was the time that I came along with him. So as we were going to East District, you know, God knows each one of us, right? He knows that I'm a very outspoken and I'm very blunt. But I really want to respect his position as a leader. He's the one that organized this event. But I couldn't hold myself back. And I said, Robert, I really feel like we need to pray out loud, boldly. And God kept saying that to me. And I kept saying, you have to respect. This is his deal. You can't. So then I said, okay, next time I'm going to make sure that I talk to Robert. So me and Donna, we were at a funeral from the last officer that committed suicide. And Robert happened to walk in, which we all know that's not a coincidence. That was God's appointment. So I said, Robert, I really need to speak to you after the service. So we walked out, and then Donna, I ended up needing to just call him because I couldn't have the whole conversation there with him. I said, Robert, I really want to tell you, I didn't know his religious backgrounds. I said, Robert, I need to tell you that it's so important that as we're walking through these streets, we need to boldly pray over each Chicago neighborhood. As well as we reach to the district, we need to boldly pray over these officers. And then he just stood quiet. And then he said, you know what, Liz said? God told me that. And he said, and when I went to the ceremony for the suicide awareness that they had over at the FOP lodge to recognize the officers that killed themselves, that committed a suicide, he said God told him that he needed to read that prayer. So then I said, I think that we need to allow God to speak to our spirit what he wants us to say to each district, and we need to pray over them. We're done being lukewarm Christians. You have to, like Pastor said, we can't just wait for them to come to us. We have to go there and pray. You can feel the oppression inside these districts. We cannot just sit here anymore. We cannot just, you know, yes, prayer is, I believe in prayer so much, but we need to put action behind the prayer. And so that's what happened. And I will tell you how God showed himself many times. We arrived to a district after Robert finished saying what the organization represents. He allowed me to pray over the officers. One of the officers stood up and started to cry, and he shared that he had attempted suicide multiple times. So Robert and I went over and we laid hands over him. We started to pray. So God was manifesting himself, and that's just proof that God wants us to get up from our chairs and go and pray over these officers. Like Pastor said, it's time to put action behind our words. Another event, also, we were walking down Inglewood. This young man, I knew that was God. God is so great. He was just walking behind us on his little scooter, and he shouted across the street, and he said, hey, guys. Why is it just three of you? And Robert said, you want to join us? And I'm sure he was just being polite. The young man dropped his scooter, and he walked over to us. So we had details behind us, officers, and they were protecting us, right? They pulled over to make sure we were okay. So then the two officers that pulled over, they were so happy, they started to cry, that this 19-year-old boy decided to be a leader and walk with us because he saw that nobody else would. And as we were walking, God spoke through him, and you should have heard the wisdom that came out of this young man's mouth. So God had told me, if you're going to go all in, Lisette, He made me buy a Jesus flag, which I carried. I said, so many things happened, so many things, and that was God. And then so I said, you're going to give this flag to this young man. And you know what he said? How did you know? And I just gave him a high five, and I said, yes, praise God. And then we're walking, and I said, young man, you know what? You're gonna be the first one to speak to the next district because God has something to say through you. That's why you're here. So as we arrived, he spoke and you beautifully. I'm gonna share it. I don't know if anybody has Pastor Kim on Facebook, but I'm gonna share the video so everybody can hear what this young man had to say. A 19-year-old boy that lives within that neighborhood. So that's how God was manifesting himself. Also, one of the representatives from the FOP, he's not a believer of Christ, but guess who was holding that flag most of the time? I was walking behind him. I took a picture of it, and I said, officer, you don't know, but God's going to use you, and you're going to become a godly man, a leader. Now, this year, you're going to become God's leader. And then he unknowingly, he took my flag and he started walking. God shows you these things because we're walking, we're taking action. And I'm just so excited to see what God's going to do in this year coming up with in the Chicago Police Department. God has been telling me that he's going to light up a fire in the Holy Spirit through these officers. I also want to share something else that Pastor Kim doesn't know. Last year, when I started this walk, God put in my heart that I should get into law enforcement. So I started the process last year, and God has been introducing me inside the police department to so many godly people that I didn't even know so many officers believed in Christ. So much that they have a biblical women's study Bible group once a month every Wednesday inside the old Chicago Police Academy. They have a co-ed group that meets every second Saturday of the month, and they just started some prayer services for the new recruits. So tell me God is not there. He's showing up. And so many things have happened in this past year I don't have no more words to say how God is so good and how he's just showing up everywhere. Because God had put in my heart also the feeling that Pastor was having. I was feeling such sadness because I felt like, how could it be that there are protectors and we're not standing boldly up for them? If we know that they're here to protect us, why aren't we doing that as Christians? And I felt so bad. I decided I wanted to get into the police department as a police officer, as well as while I get in, I want to be proactive and do whatever I can. Because I want to go to God and say I did everything in my power. And I want to say that I'm a single mom and I'm by myself. So there's no excuse to anything. But thank you for inviting me to speak.
It's wonderful. It is wonderful that she would come out and share her story and what she's going to do and what God's, you know, just like yesterday's sermon, be the one. She's one, but one can do so much. One can put 1,000 to flight and two 10,000 to flight. Lisette, I was just asked to come and pray and speak with the recruits today. And so God is really moving. And what if we could be a part of crime in our city going down to where the nation would literally look at us and say, this is a city that prays, and look at what happened to the crime in their city. It went down. And that can actually happen. So I just want to invite you guys all to pray. We're going to just stand and pray. And just I wanted to just share our heart about, you know, what God's putting on us. You know, a lot of times we just come to church and we go home and we come to church and we go home and we don't do anything significant, and God is calling us now. Are we going to respond to that call and get our ideas going? What can we do? And what God will give us, God will put it on our hearts, you know, how to organize and what we can do and how we can make a difference. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that first of all, that we have a group of men and women in our city, Father, that we have a superintendent of police and that we have commanders all throughout this city, Father God, that work under the commander of the armies of the living God. And Father God, I pray that they would work at your direction. Father God, I pray that they would never misstep. I pray that they would walk to the right, walk to the left, as only you direct, that their steps would be ordered of the Lord. I pray protection over them. I pray provision over them. Father God, I pray that you would bless them with unusual blessings. I pray that you would bless their family. I pray that you would remove fear from their life. Father God, that perfect love would cast out all fear, and that they would know that they are loved and they are covered in prayer, that someone's praying for them literally around the clock. Father God, I pray for those that are despondent, those that are thinking that they just can't take it anymore. Father God, I pray that you would send someone to them that would speak life back into them, that would give them CPR, Father God, spiritual CPR, Father God, that they would rise up again, that they would be resurrected again, that they would execute their jobs with excellence, Father. Lord, we thank you for them. We want to say thank you for them. Lord, we're not going to be among those that are the complainers. We're going to leave that to you and leave that to the justice system. Our job is to love. Our job is to get behind them and support them and to obey the laws of the land. That's another thing we can do that is our part, that by not making their job more difficult, by coming up against the laws that are set in place in our land, Father God. Father God, by not calling them for the least little thing, Lord, but calling them when we need them, Father, but we want to support them. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them. Cover them with your wings, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you. So do whatever you can. Let us know what your ideas are. I think Sandra's got some kind of treats in the vestibule. But thank you for coming out. And next week, we'll have Bible study again. We've got a great Bible study next week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.